Josef Svoboda is a professor, Arctic ecologist and author. Born in Prague in 1929, Mr. Svoboda studied science and philosophy at Masaryk and Charles Universities. Imprisoned for 9 years by the communist regime in 1949 for alleged treason and espionage, he later emigrated in 1968 to Canada, where he's been living ever since. Dominic Yoon spoke to Josef Svoboda in Canada and started by asking him about his earliest memories of growing up in pre-war Czechoslovakia.
Well, I'm already old man and it's far away to remember. But yes, I was born in Prague and my father was a locomotive engineer and drove the locomotives and trains. So my early childhood was very poetic in this respect that I was able or allowed to drive the locomotive for a few meters in front and again back. And of course then we had to go through the 6 years of the Nazi occupation.
Were you able to live a semi-normal life during those times?
It was a life under duress, under the pressure, under the threat of all kinds of possibilities. My father could have been accused of all kinds of sabotage, perhaps if the trains would not arrive in time, or if he would be suspected that he would do some kind of malice, you know, to the system.
At this point, you were growing into a young adult. So what are your memories of witnessing the rise of the communist regime and the mood in the country?
There was kind of sobering, you know, awakening. Is this what we really wanted? You know, we thank them for the liberation. Of course, Nazis were a terrible regime. But on the other hand, what they are bringing here is not acceptable either. I graduated from the high school in 1948. And already at that time, I was known with some reserve versus that new system which was coming. Already the high school action committee, which was run by those young communists, did not give me a recommendation for the university. However, I was already assisting at the university with one professor there, so he called the chairman of the committee student and asked him, look, you should not condemn young person, you know, definitely give him a chance. And so I was admitted to the university and I chose science and philosophy. And I finished one full year at the university from 48 to 49. However, in 49, I was then finally arrested for these alleged crimes.
So tell me about that. Were you a troublemaker or were you just outspoken?
In our philosophical seminars, we were discussing still concept of democracy and these things, because it was 1 year they could not just clamp at us completely. And one day, one of my colleagues says, well, with the talking here, we wouldn't sort of change the system. We have to do something about it. I knew what he means, but I was not prepared, really, to go to some hard underground. So I said, well, what should we do? I am not prepared to take arms, or so I don't even have any, and so on. He said, no, that's not necessary. We need to collect information for the West, and you could be helpful in that respect. So in this, I somehow committed myself to be assisting in this, either collecting or passing the information. And then that became actually fine, because the whole organization was already actually organized by the communist initiators, you know.
So the anti-communist organization was organized by the communists to root out people who were
exactly
opposed.
Exactly, to catch all the hot heads. And that's what happened. So finally I was sentenced in a big group, but within the big group, they made a small group of 8 students just from the Masaryk University, and I was among them.
And what were you hoping to achieve if the group had actually been like a legitimate thing? What were you trying to, democratic dialogue or help from the West, or what exactly were you after?
That came up in the court hearing, and then finally, what did you want to do? We are popular democracy, we are those people for people. What you, who are also from, let's say, workers' origin, what did you want to change? Well, at the time I was only a student, so I said, I'd like to have a democracy, Masaryk democracy, or the democracy of Western type, you know, where you can elect and unelect people, you know. And that's, no, this is the dictatorship of proletariat, and we have to now take power, and later we would allow more freedom or something like that, you know, see. So that was the discussion during the court.
So you ended up being sentenced for treason and espionage, and you spent 9 years in jail, so those years must have been extremely difficult for you.
Well, objectively, they were very difficult. Nobody would like to do it, and especially I would like to repeat it either. But because we were young, at least I was in my 20s, you know, I was arrested when I was 20 years old, we had still the biological energy, and we have the enthusiasm and the ideal that we are sort of serving or suffering for a good cause. And because there's majority of us were political prisoners, so we enforced that idea, and we were unbreakable, really, by the regime. They try, you know, always and many ways. But the more they pushed, the more we were resistant. So there were hunger, there were cruelties and all kinds of inhumane actions. They put you in a hole for a month, you see, barely fed you.
So they wanted you to say that communism was in fact great and you were overtly refusing?
They didn't formulate it that way. They said, okay, if you would cooperate, maybe you would sign a piece of paper that you would, you know, inform us about the others, you know, so we would help you to get out of the prison sooner. And of course, 99% of people said no. And then were again maybe pressed more during the execution of the sentence. Then there were times when we were, let's say, I have worked for 4 years in uranium mines, you see, as a slave worker, as a prison worker in mines.
And so part of the 9 years was spent,
exactly,
was 4 years in uranium mines.
In Joachimstal or Yakimov. You know, that's where Madame Curie got her uranium for her experiments. We did got enough of the radiation load in our bodies as well. I was trying to avoid it. I was trying to escape from the hot spots wherever I could. But some people didn't have that knowledge, maybe, so they were exposed more. I met so many great people that is very difficult to enumerate them.
So tell me about the life you've built up in Canada. You've been working as an Arctic ecologist. Obviously, Canada is an ideal place for that because it's got a huge Arctic terrain.
Well, that's very true. Of course, I was not geared to go to work in Canadian North, but I wanted to finish my degrees. And for that, I had to first enroll in 2 universities. And I finished my bachelor first because I had credits throughout my Czechoslovakian experience, but no diploma. And then I chose the University of Alberta in Edmonton, Alberta, and the professor who read my application said, I just need a person like you who had experience already in research, and if you wish, you can go with me, and you have to be here in June 3rd, because June 5th we are flying to the north, to the high north, to the high Arctic. I didn't know much about it. I just say yes, because it was a very adventurous, you know, to be an explorer, a researcher in high north. It took three years to finish my PhD. And before I finished, I already got a job of assistant professor at the University of Toronto. And I stay in the job for 22 years before retirement.
So what kind of things have you researched?
You know, it was a big, big project. It was so-called International Biological Program. That was part of World Biological Program, studying all big ecosystems, like tropical forest or prairies or northern boreal forest, and also tundra. The treeless landscape, you know, behind the tree line, and it's subcontinent, you know, Canadian Arctic is as big as India.
When you were in the Arctic amidst the massive wide spaces, did you ever reflect on the idea that you'd been in prison in a small confined space and suddenly here you were and that was the big journey of your life?
It was like a gift of God for all what you suffered before. Because if, let's say, in 1968, when the Russians came and let's say the cage clapped down, if somebody would say, you see, don't despair, you know, and you would move to Canada and become a university professor, then I would say, oh, you go and let your mind to be checked because you need some psychiatric treatment. And that exactly happened, you know, that exactly happened. It's rare in life, but it happens.
Josef Svoboda, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you as well.